Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to another edition of the Roundtable Podcast. My name is Norm Funk. I'm the senior pastor of Westside Church. I am very fired up because this is a very full roundtable today, the fullest it's ever been, because I have members of Heritage Hill with me today. The four members that make up Heritage Hill, Tiff Haynes, Tiffany Haynes, Sarah Miller, Grace Chung, and Natalie Lalonde. I think I've got all the names right. Did I get all the names right? Did I do okay? Welcome here. Great to have you. Thanks. Everybody kind of say hi into the mic so you can kind of get that feeling there you go.
Hello.
Thanks
so,
for having us.
Lots of stuff going on. Very exciting day because tomorrow, an EP from Heritage Hill is, what's the right word? Because you're talking to Grandpa Funk here. Dropping, coming out, those kinds
good.
Of things.
Dropping.
Okay.
Dropping.
So I've got a ton of questions and I hope to get through them all. First of all, thank you for being here. Second of all, Heritage Hill, where's the name come from? What is a Heritage Hill?
It's, well, Grace, actually, maybe you're the best person to kind of...
Sure. The name Heritage Hill comes from Exodus 15, 19. The context of chapter 15 of Exodus is a hymn of Moses. The Israelites have just come across the Red Sea in the previous chapter, and they've... they've come to safety, and the hymn or the song of praise is just his response along with the Israelites as they've rejoiced in God's, victory and bringing them through the Red Sea. And in verse 19, he just talks about how God has brought them to the mountain of his inheritance, his abode. And if you look at Eugene Peterson's Message version, he uses the word heritage. And so we thought heritage.
That's awesome.
Hill.
So yes. How do you know each other? And how long have you known each other? And how did you come to form this?
Oh, man. I feel like this has been like sort of a long time coming because, when I came to Westside, I showed up in the worship ministry kind of randomly. Like I moved to Vancouver. Do I need to say that it's Tiffany speaking right now? People might not even know. I moved to Vancouver in 2011 and started coming to Westside and immediately kind of got connected with Ben Gadd, who was kind of overseeing things at the time. And he had me start leading worship and then started this songwriting thing. And so I showed up there and Sarah was there. Mm-hmm. And that's where me and Sarah met. And we actually wrote a song together. We wrote, I don't know if you remember Gather Us. Do you remember that song?
Yeah, we still do it.
We still do it sometimes. Yeah, every once. Not on the Van campus as much, but like at the North Shore, I think they still do it quite often. Mm-hmm. And we actually wrote that song together. That was
the first time we met.
Yeah, the first time we met. Like, we didn't know each other at all.
Was that when you did that? Was it a monthly thing? Who was the guy that helped out in that? He was in the business, so to speak. I don't see him around anymore, but...
No, I think he... goes to a different church now, but that was a songwriting class after. This was actually just a couple of people on the worship team kind of getting together and writing songs. Mm-hmm. So that's where I met Sarah, and that was kind of the start of like writing music at Westside for me.
Right.
And then met like Grace through worship at Westside.
Yep.
And then I knew Nat from a couple of different things, but we ended up going to the women's retreat all together and leading worship on the same team at the women's retreat. And after that, it was just like, man, I think like the Lord is really sort of calling us to like maybe start a band and see how that goes.
So when did that formally happen? How long have you been formally together?
So,
prior to Christmas
last year.
So 2015, fall 2015, would you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we did that Christmas song. That was the first thing we ever did.
Yeah.
The Emmanuel.
Mm-hmm. So
Christmas last year.
That's the song that you did about 2 years ago, and then I heard it this year, and I went, hey, is that a new song?
Where did that song
come
from?
I'm so aware.
Always fresh.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure that many written songs are like that.
They've been
underground for a little while.
Yeah.
So how did, Natalie, you attend the North Shore campus, so how did... Was it at the women's retreat that you came together? That's where you met? because we don't see each other that much.
Yeah, I've actually gotten to play for a few Delve events and some conventions and stuff like that. Is that the right word? Conferences.
Yeah.
So that's kind of...
Yeah. Well, and Nat and I, this is Sarah speaking, and Nat and I led at the women's retreat,
that's
and
right.
I think Mark put that together, had kind of said, because Tiff was going to be away in India, and so they were looking for a worship leader.
That was even further back.
Yeah, and so Mark said, well, Sarah could probably do it, and Nat could probably do it, and so that was the first time I met you, was at that women's retreat. 2013?
Yeah, that one was like, way back. Because the last women's retreat, which would have been in 2015, was where we all kind of were in a band together. And
that was up at Whistler.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so you guys get to know each other, hang out, do some things together, do Delves, do a women's retreat or two. Part of the reason why you're here today is because you have an EP that's coming out tomorrow, as I just said. When did that begin? When did that conversation start where you're going, hey, we should do something. We should form something like Heritage Hill and come together and do this. So how did that start? And when did it start?
I don't know.
It was after the Christmas song because we sort of did the Christmas song on a little bit of a whim. And then after that, we got together in January, and we
January 2016, so about a year ago.
Yeah.
So pretty recently. Not enough to have infighting and breakups and go solo.
No,
I feel like it was too.
I feel like it was after that women's retreat too, because like I had been sort of wanting to had been talking to Sarah about maybe starting a band at some point, and then sort of mentioned it to Grace at different points. I feel like that kind of came up just in band talk. And then we all went to the women's retreat, and I was like, whoa, these girls all sing wicked harmonies and stuff, like we should do something, because like we all have a heart for the Lord and we all love making music, and like these harmonies are sounding sick, so let's
and we get along.
Yeah, and we get along.
Yeah, we like
and
each other.
So it's just like it was just like a really cool thing that the Lord kind of just made clear that it was sort of like, oh, like these four women are like would be a really good, you know, group to just kind of get together and encourage each other and also make music. So
So the EP Out of the Sea coming out tomorrow. First of all, Out of the Sea, where did that name come from?
It goes along with the Exodus theme too. Like as Grace was saying with our band name is, it came from that psalm from Moses after God had brought them out of the sea. And so a lot of these songs too, I think, came out of places of struggle, and some of them are still sitting in struggle, but some of them are, you know, praise that of what God has done. So we thought these songs came out of the sea. God brought us out of the sea.
So seven songs is a big deal. Like not easy to come up with seven songs. I have listened to all of them actually a number of times. I listened to everything again this morning, driving here and driving around a little bit this morning. And, I love it. I love for a number of reasons. I'll get to that a little bit later, but I love it. But how does that work? Because I can't simply say, all right, Grace, come up with a song. You got 2 hours. All right. report back to me. So you get together, you start talking, you love Jesus, you love worship, you get along with one another. Hey, we should do something. So how do you, what's the process? How does that come about?
Oh man. Well, this album is interesting because like I've been songwriting for quite a while. So there were actually like a few songs that we already did in church that I had.
Death is Dead.
Yeah, like Death is Dead or Sing
Hallelujah.
And so we've done those at church. So those songs sort of seemed like the right style for our band. Like that's kind of the direction we were headed in anyway. But the songwriting process is really funny because I feel like for myself, and it's different for everyone, but like for me personally, like often I'll be in, at morning prayer on a Wednesday, and it'll be like the middle of praying with everyone where the Lord just sort of like, there's like all of a sudden a tune that pops in my head and like some sort of like thing that we're praying about or something that strikes there. And I've definitely snuck on off to the bathroom every once in a while and voice memoed something, you know, an idea, which is kind of random, but also great. And like, you know, sermons on Sundays, I feel like are really often catalysts for songs, like just when the Lord's like impressing sort of a message, you know, that you guys are teaching on, like often that actually sparks songs and theological themes that are sort of written into songs. So I know for myself, it's often like the melody and the lyrics kind of come together. Yeah. And then there's this process of taking those songs and being like, oh, hey guys, like I have this idea. This is kind of what I'm saying. And then, you know, the band comes together and we'll say like, oh man, this song, you know, it's the idea is there, but maybe it needs like, an extra, like a chorus or something needs to be added, or there's an idea that maybe is there, but maybe unclear. And so that's where like, it's a really collaborative process because people will come in and say like, you know, the girls will say like, hey, I didn't really totally understand this part. What were you trying to say here? Mm-hmm. So it's actually super helpful to write in groups because you may think that you're being really clear as you write a song, but then somebody else listens to it and they're like, what did you mean by that? So, you know, so it's really helpful to write in like in a band.
Did you write them all?
I wrote six of the songs. And then there's My Savior's Love is a hymn. So, yeah.
Okay. And then you come to, do you just come with, I know musicians and artists have had these questions all the time, so forgive me for asking the same question. But so do you come with the words and you just go, all right, I need help on the beats, so to speak? All right, how does that work?
It kind of depends. It really depends on from song to song. Like, there's been some times where Tiff will come with a pretty complete idea musically, and then there's other times when she'll come and have, you know, maybe just a melody, or even My Savior's Love started with Grace. Like, she was playing around with a picking pattern and came to practice and was like, hey guys, what do you think about this? And from that, we sort of grew the whole arrangement, and everyone had a little, you know, an idea that went into it. And so it really depends from song to song.
Any disagreements?
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. There's definitely been disagreements. It's really hard when there's like two people on one side and two on the other, because you're like, who's the tiebreaker? Like, this is awful.
And then it also doesn't help when we just change our minds halfway through and we just think, oh, I love this. And then all of a sudden you decide, no, actually, I like
not into it anymore.
I think Isaac went through like 20 iterations of like, just like styles. Like, we were like, oh, like, this is the best way. Like, this is so good. We're going to go this way with it. And then we show up like a week later and we're like, no, we hate it. We hate it.
So is when I listen to it, you know, and this language may not be right. So again, forgive me if I'm using the wrong language. It's got a bit of a Western vibe to it. Is that kind of the stuff that you're into, or just one of the sort of the genres that you're into? How did you kind of go that way? Is it just, hey, that's what I listen to most often? That's what kind of influences me, or is it just where it went?
Sarah Miller had a good descriptor for Heritage.
I think I was joking.
But I like it. What was it?
It was, we're kind of like hipster indie Americana.
Nice. I like it. It's good.
Are any of us hipster indie Americanas in terms of people?
Adjacent, maybe.
Adjacent hipsters.
So where does that come from? Yeah. Why that sort of leaning?
I mean, well, I guess I can speak into this because because I wrote the songs, there's like a little bit of influence of where my background comes from. And I lived in the South for a while. Like, I lived in Texas and in Oklahoma, and just like came to really love a lot of like gospel music and like bluegrass and a lot of just like influences in country and stuff like that. And like all the girls like all love that style too. And so I think like just writing that music, like that's kind of what came out. Like, and I think that's probably from absorbing a lot of that when I was in my time down there, because I was down there for like 8.5 years. And so like, yeah, I just really love like blues and like all of that. And it's just like, it's such a fantastic genre for like storytelling, and it's just like super accessible for people because it it kind of appeals to all age groups, and there's just a lot I love about like that type of music. It's kind of it's just a really inclusive genre of like all types of people and age groups and everything. So I think we all kind of like how fun it is too. I don't know, what do you guys think?
Oh yeah, it's totally fun. But
And I feel like, Nat, like you had a lot of influences in that genre too, like even before being part of Heritage Hill. It was like you were doing other, like you were in other bands and stuff like that.
Yeah, I was in a Celtic band.
Right.
Who like to call themselves sometimes bluegrass, but I do really like just like true raw bluegrass.
So what I love about the EP, what I love, and I mean this with all my heart, what I love about it, it's what's well done, like it's put together very well. So just from a listening standpoint, and I'll maybe get to Christian music and the stuff that I listen to, because I think I got to be careful here. I think a lot of it is just, it's just bad. I don't know if that's the right word to use. But you can tell from 1,000 feet, you know, hey, that's a Christian song when you hear three beats. And so it's well done. It's theologically rich. It's just theologically rich. It's also, it's got its, I don't know how to put it, it's got its highs and its lows. So you go from Death is Dead to Oh My Soul, based on Psalm 42. And I'm listening to I'm a crier all the time. So I'm listening to that, you know, as I'm driving, and I'm crying, you know, and give me a little teary think about it now. So it's got its highs and its lows, which I love, because certain songs will hit you at certain times in certain ways, and you really want that. And then you want Psalm 42. You want that. And that's the beauty of it. And so, It's this nice compilation of things well done, being true to the word, understanding the ebbs and the flows, the ups and the downs of our walk with Jesus, and some days where we're crying out, some days where we're rejoicing, but regardless, we're directing. And so, can I ask you some specifics about certain songs? So, sure, for example, Oh My Soul, based on Psalm 42, why that? Where did that come from? Tell us a little bit about, you know, the lead up to that. And then what we're going to do is we're going to play a snippet of it. So as people are listening to the podcast, we're going to play 30, 60 seconds or what have you, just to tease you so you go out and you get the EP. But can you tell us a little bit about that?
I feel like Sarah's a good person to maybe talk about Oh My Soul.
Yeah, that song, I mean, you talk about crying. I'm a crier too, Norm. and that song, well, Tiff wrote it, and when we were getting ready to record, we kind of had a lot of back and forth, and I was sort of struggling to find the piano parts that really fit in with what she was singing, and it just wasn't super clicking. And then we came to recording day, and this one was the one that I was the most nervous about laying down the piano tracks for. And the morning that we had scheduled to record, I actually found out that my grandma had passed away. And I was really close to her, and she was my last grandparent. And then I had, you know, I got to the church, and I had to go in the booth, and I really felt like God was with me in that, and that I could just really feel his presence in the booth, and I felt like I was finally able to sort of connect with the emotion of the song, because, you know, it talks about my soul being weary, and God still being with me in that, and I was finally able to sort of play and match that, and just, yeah, it was really hard. I shed a lot of tears while I was recording that one, but yeah, it was just, I felt so much the presence of God, and just him saying, you know, I'm still here with you, and even though your heart is breaking, you know, there's a line in the song, my heart's breaking, but then it keeps repeating, I will keep singing, I will keep singing. And I think, yeah, I just felt like that was, like, from God. And I know it's funny, because Tiff had written that song so long ago, and like you said, where like a song will just kind of hit you in a certain mm-hmm. way, and that was what I needed to sing mm-hmm. and to play on that day, yeah. and God knew that, mm-hmm. and so every time I listen to that song, I tear up a little bit too, because yeah. I think about my grandma and I miss her, but I also just think about God being with me in loss and mm-hmm. And just that's how awesome. Important it is to keep singing.
Well, yeah. why don't we go ahead and listen to a sample of that?
Okay.
Lord, my soul is thirsty for the one living God. Help me remember all that you've done. Shout it with gladness. Sing songs of praise.
Fantastic. Other song, a couple other songs that stood out. Well, first of all, Death is Dead, I've heard. I remember when I first heard Death is Dead because I think it was the first time I heard it was at Delve at Granville Island.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that was the last song that was done that I still remember. I still remember it because I made a comment about Macklemore's song right after it. And I went, this is much better. This is much better than that. So I don't know when that was. So whenever Macklemore's thrift shop song came up.
Oh, man.
Whenever
that's
that
so
was.
Funny. We can have a timeline because of Macklemore. I love
right.
it.
Yeah.
So what I love about that, I mean, I love it because it's just, you can do it in so many ways. And the way that it's done on the EP is different than how it's been done at times, at least. I mean, you've arranged it differently over the years. But yeah. I love it because, for that reason, I love it because it's so rock solid in terms of what, you know, what it says and teaches. I love when you have Ephesians 2, mm-hmm. you know, 9 and 10, 8, 9 and 10 up on the screen, 8 and 9 perhaps, you know, whenever we do it. So where did that come from? Tell us a little bit about that, and then we'll listen to a sample of that as well.
Oh, man, that song, it's one of the songs, like, the first songs that I wrote at Westside, like, besides Gather Us, we did Gather Us, but then I wrote this song, and it was actually really funny because, like, it's not really, like, a song, like, the type of song that you hear in church in Vancouver, Canada, like, very often. Mm-hmm. It definitely, like, was a bit of a risk to, like, the guys were just sort of like, I don't know if this is
oh,
going to fly
right?
on a Sunday. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And then, but because it's just, like, such a, it just felt so different from every other worship song that we were singing. And then we did it at Delve, and it was just like, man, like, let's, like, have a party with Jesus kind of thing. Like, yeah. It was, like, because it's got a lot of energy and, but the other thing about this song was that I was just like, man, this song is so the Lord, because, like, how, you know, by grace through faith in Christ alone got worked into a song. I mean,
it's
like
so
just legitimately like scripture, right? And so it I'm just really thankful to the Lord for that, because I just don't think that I could have ever thought that up. Like, it was just literally like something that was playing through my head.
Do you ever worry about other people taking that in other ministries and not being able to handle the lead part of it?
Oh yeah, man, it's actually pretty funny. There's been some funny iterations of this song. The first time we did it sounded like super ZZ Top.
Yeah. Nice.
And I was like, ah, it's not quite what we were going for. And then it was like,
there was Shred.
Death is Shred.
Death is Shred. We had like
80s guitar.
That's people, a Mark joke. We
well, it's actually super funny because people just get like caught up in this song, which I actually love about it because they just like sort of like it's so fun to play. It's so fun to worship the Lord. Like, and so people just get carried away and they start just like shredding on their guitars nice. And like whatever. And so it's like really funny, but. But yeah, so there's just been a lot of really like different iterations of it, and then there was a blues arrangement. But this is actually my favorite because I think like Nat mentioned this before. Just you picture people, you know, parents like dancing with their kids in their living rooms.
Yeah, you can't not move to this.
Yeah, and so it's just I think like what I'm thankful for in this song is just the truth that is like integrated into the song. Like it's singing scripture, but it's also just a song that's got so much energy and vibrance for the Lord, which I think sometimes like we don't maybe have like mm-hmm. as many mm-hmm. energetic songs as yeah. you know mm-hmm. you would love like in the church. And mm-hmm. so I am really thankful for that people just seem to be able to clap along and enjoy it and sing it, and it's simple. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, so.
Well, why don't we go ahead and hear a little bit of it, this version of it.
I'm going to the kingdom, I'm going to the kingdom, I'm going to the kingdom of saving grace, yeah, well, on that eternal shore.
The last song. I mean, they're all great, but one other song that I wanna hear from you about, Sing Hallelujah. So great. I know that's been around for a while. I know I didn't realize it's been around for a while, so forgive me for that. That I love it. I remember the reason why that one stands out to me is I don't know when you... Did you sing it around Christmas time here? Maybe?
Probably.
Not really?
At some point.
Because I remember standing in the back. I sometimes before a gathering, I'll stand in the back at the soundboard and I'll sit in there for the first set of worship. And I thought, man, this is fantastic. Tell me about that. The genesis of that. Where did that come from?
You know, Sing Hallelujah was one of those songs that I think I was sitting in staff meeting, actually.
And just it was dozed like, and confused. Dazed no, and confused. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Just kind of bored to death.
Dozed.
So bored.
Yeah, no. I hear you. Me too, most of the time. Actually, I'm not there anymore, so.
Oh, man. No, I actually think you were leading a Devo.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I understand. Keep on going.
But you know what? It was one of those things where, like, whatever we were talking about, like, we were talking about, you know, like, as we do in staff meeting, you were just, like, encouraging us in the Word. And I think
that's
I had the whole...
Thank you. That's a good save. You knew that.
I'm working hard here, Norm.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate that.
But the holy is the Lord part, like, just kept on playing over in my head. And just, like, that sort of need for songs that just point out the holiness of God and also just the adoration. Mm-hmm. Mark talks to us a lot about liturgy in the worship ministry, and just how to lead people through a process of this sort of the story of God in the sense of like talking about God's holiness and doing songs of adoration and then confession and all of those things. And so there's a place for just songs of adoration. And I think I had, like, when I was writing this song, like, I was thinking, I was like, man, I I really have a penchant for writing like depressing songs, mm-hmm. so I just really want to sing a praise mm-hmm. song, and I mm-hmm. And just talk about how the Lord is just so good and mm-hmm. And amazing, and how we can just like praise Him, and that actually brings us so much joy when we're living in that place. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where this song came from. It's actually a pretty simple song, but it's just that recognition of the holiness of God, like what He's done for us and how we can just praise Him for that.
Well, let's go ahead and listen to that one. What's your goal for the EP? By the way, such a great song. What's your goal for the EP? Maybe I'll ask that. Natalie, what would you love to see happen by way of this EP?
Well, I like it is quite a crossover, and I feel like I guess you could say, sort of in the secular world, in bluegrass, for example, there are a lot of, you could call them spirituals, or at least lyrics that have gospel meaning in them.
Yeah.
And so I think that this could cross over into that genre area,
right,
of listeners too, as well as just getting to bless our brothers and sisters.
Yeah,
with this music. So.
Yeah. So in terms of who these songs are written for, it's not just written for those that are sitting in the chairs and the pews, so to speak, but those that haven't yet ever entered the doorways of, a church building, so to speak. I say so to speak, so we don't have pews and we don't have really a church building. So, in and outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think. If we're just thinking about who we are as a band within the church, Westside, we just know we just want to make Jesus known.
Yeah.
And so that's the ultimate sort of goal or plan. But I think, the songs are for the church, for Westside. The songs are for other churches. And what I really hope is that people will be able to listen to this music at home and just have it in their personal worship, devotions, and exactly, like, who knows where it'll cross over to. Yeah.
I think there's also, also even before the EPs come out, just conversations with people in our lives that who don't know Jesus, and for whatever reason, music is easier to talk about, I think, with people. And I know in my life, a lot of people have just wanted to ask me about being in a band or what's recording like and all of that kind of stuff. And through that, it really opens up the door to conversation to talk about Jesus and to talk about church and to talk about, how we write songs for the church. And, they're straight out of the Bible, and I think I just hope, like Natalie was saying, that it can really just open some doors that people who maybe wouldn't ever, come to a church or listen to gospel music would, because they know us or and are friends with us or those kind of things, that they listen to this music and like it and are hearing scripture truths,
So. What I love about you guys is you're not a band that happens to lead worship. You're worship leaders that put together a band, which is, that's fantastic. You guys get up week after week after week. along with other people on both sides of the water, both here on the North Shore, and you lead worship. Let me ask a question just simply about, I got a couple questions, and I'm looking at my time, and I want to make sure I hit them. But from the standpoint of just music in general, and then I'll come back to the worship question that I have in the back of my mind. Why is Christian music that I listen to, even on quote-unquote praise stations, so just not great? Like, it all has the same, I mean, every once in a while you'll hear a song and you go, man, I love that. I love that. Mm-hmm. But most often it's just, man, it's not even the words, it's just the production. It just seems...
I've heard it called, it has a shimmer, someone said to me.
Why is that?
I think, this sort of a sad reality of just music in general is that there is sort of an industry, right? Like, there's the Christian music industry, and a lot of that determines the direction of, just what music sounds like, because there is a monetary aspect to...
Do people want that, though?
Yeah. I would say, like, just living in the southern United States, like...
That's what they want.
Well, there's just a lot of... we just forget that, like, I think especially in the States, like, and down south, you know, there, it's the Bible Belt.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people that sort of have that old school vision of church, you know, the happy family with, like, you know, nice, calm music and, like, whatever. And that's, you know, and it, they, I mean, they call it, they sort of talk about how it, like, appeals to the soccer mom, like, in the States.
Right.
But, which is kind of a funny, like, thing that that's what they aim for. But I think, like, it's cool, though, because you see in Christian music now, like, there are a lot of people, like, making some really great music as well. Mm-hmm. And I think even with the emergence of, like, social media and the internet and all of that, like, there's this real opportunity for people to just make music and put it out there, and you don't necessarily have to be with a label and all of that sort of stuff. So there's actually just, like, so many, like, I mean, the Good Christian Music blog is one of those ones where they're posting like bands that have made some really fantastic Christian music, you know, like, that's gospel centered and that's, like, interesting musically and stuff like that. So it's out there. It's just, like, not mainstream, I guess, mm-hmm. is sort of...
What do you listen to that people may not know about that you think is great? I know it's putting on
Christian
spot.
Music?
Yeah,
or...
yeah.
Well, one thing I was going to say is I think another part of it is, like, we do this in a lot of ways, but, like, in Christian music, too, I think there's that trap of listening to the same stuff and not, like, going outside for and listening to what... to other music or things that are going on outside. And I know for a lot of us, like, I listen to a lot of worship music, but I did not grow up on that. And I listen to a lot of stuff that is not, you know, Christian music. Mm-hmm. And I think having those outside influences and being able to take what's good from that, you know, I listen to the Beatles. They're, like, my favorite band still. That's kind of dorky, but just to be able to look at that and musically say what's good.
Why is
good.
That dorky? I'm not dorky.
I don't know. But you know what I mean? Like, to be able to take things and influences and then re-sort of frame them using a gospel lens, I think, is something we need more of in Christian music. Because there is a lot of really good music out there that you can... take stuff from.
It's just not on the radio.
It's just not on the radio.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, to be fair, there are some really great, you know, like mainstream songs out there too. Like there are some great worship songs that we do, like, that are, you know, that are mainstream. Like, I mean, we do How Great Is Our God and like songs like that. And I would say that's, like, you know, maybe in that category, but it's a great song.
Yeah.
And so it's just, like, there's
Chance
a lot of...
the rapper thinks so.
That's right.
So there's a lot of that variety out there, right? Like, you can't sort of throw it all out for sure.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, maybe it's just a thing of we're coming out of, the 70s, 80s, where it was just...
Yeah.
we're coming out of that time, and it's time to start yeah. making that change. So when you talk about death is dead and how maybe it is a little bit edgy for what we're used to in church,
yeah.
well, we got to start putting that in there and, mm-hmm. and start to make the change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one of the things that I said early on at Westside in regards to worship specifically was the message, so worshiping in truth is really important. It's vital. Mm. But also the medium is important to me. Mm-hmm. So medium and message, I used to talk about that quite a bit. I haven't really brought that up much. So the medium, so what are people listening to? And if this doesn't sound what people are listening to, then I don't think you're on mission. So mm-hmm. what do most people listen to? They listen to things perhaps closely connected to this vibe. And that was very important to me. And so the message coupled with this, I think if you're on mission, the three M's, I think are really, really important in terms of worship. And when I turn on the radio and I listen to stuff, I just go, mm-hmm. I get the message, but the medium is brutal. Mm-hmm. And I know that's very unfair, but perhaps unfair. But I think there needs to be a challenge too in that. Mm-hmm. So that's mm-hmm. part of it. Time is almost done, but I haven't really, in terms of going back to that question, I said I'm going to double back on worship. Why is this is a big question. Why is worship important? Why do you give yourself to this? And I know worship is bigger than music, but it's nothing less than music. It's nothing less than singing. What I mean by that is song, instruments coming together is a gift of God. Mm-hmm. And so I get that it's bigger than that. It's our whole lives. But this sweet little gift that God has given us, why is that so important to you? Why should it be important to the body? Why do we do it every week? Big question, I know.
Speaking of music?
Yeah, and just worship on a Sunday and, you know, taking this, you know, putting it on your phone and listening to it. Why is that important? Why do you get up in the North Shore at 5 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday and, you know, to set up and tear down and lead?
Music brings out, any kind of music can bring out any kind of emotion in people. I've heard people say that they don't like music. I don't know if that's true. Maybe it is. But I just, I know that I lead music and I play at church. And when I'm in the congregation, often I don't sing. I just, because I'm a crier as well. So just to get to be part of leading people in such a medium or a way of such a raw and emotional form of worship is such an honor. And I love, the greatest compliment is when people come up to me and say, I was really able to enter into worship. Not like, good job, you know, but just thank you for leading us straight through and into worship, and I'm just so happy to get to be part of that.
Yeah. Some of the great doctrine of the New Testament church was put to hymns. It seems that Paul in his letters would actually quote from hymns, help people remember these great doctrines put to put to music.
I was just gonna say, like, I think music is one of the ways that we worship, in the sense that it really, like, refocuses our hearts on the Lord. Like, because often when people are coming into a gathering, they might be distracted or, like, you know, gotten in a fight earlier that morning or whatever it may be that they're coming in with, like, and, you know, it's a way that we refocus our hearts on God and refocus our hearts on what's actually important in our lives. And it leads people to see the truth of God's word often. And I think, like, you're right. Like, there are so many great hymns that just speak the truths of God. And often I think, the Lord uses music to speak to us in moments where we need to remember the truths of God. So, you know, like, when we're struggling with something, like, a song will come back to us and if it's filled with scripture and it's filled with the word, like that is so helpful, you know, because the word is our, like is the sword. Like it's what we use to do battle, with our thoughts and in everyday life. Like it is what helps us live lives as Christians. And I think like just the fact that worship music is so, when it's so rich in that, it can be so helpful to our, the living out of our faith. So even like in the gathering on a Sunday, but also like as we go out throughout the week and have to, you know, live our lives as Christians, like in the world, those truths like help us in that, daily walk. So
you have a song in, Oh My Soul, I'll Keep Singing Because My Savior Came. And, here I am getting teary. And what's so great about that, it comes out of a psalm of lament. And so I'm not going to sing because my life is great right now. I'm going to sing because my Savior came. And that aspect of we worship not based on our circumstances, but in spite of our circumstances with a bigger vision and understanding of what Jesus has done for us. Love you guys. Thank you so much. So if people want to get to this, by the way, I can't not have this information out. It's coming out tomorrow. So how do they get it? Where do they find it?
They can go to wchurch.ca/music and it links to all, it'll be on iTunes and Spotify and Google Play. So it should be on all the platforms and you can go to any of those things, Out of the Sea, Heritage Hill. You just look those things up, or you can just go to the website and that will have links to all of those things. So, and you can listen to the whole album on the website as well.
Nice. And then next Friday, in connection with Child of Mine and Missions fundraiser stuff, India wise, you're going to be there backstage bash. And you're going to be doing all, it's going to be like the Joshua Tree tour, which is good. This is your deal, right?
You're going, right? Basically the same thing.
Yeah, basically the same thing. Joshua Tree saved the 80s for me, just so you know. That was a big deal for me in the 80s.
It's going to be a super fun night. Patriot Sale will be there.
Awesome.
As well as us. And it'll be a worship night. And it's at 8 p.m. at the center.
On the stage.
The stage.
Fantastic.
All the proceeds go to the India trip coming up this year.
Thank you for doing that. Thank you guys, really appreciate it. You're the best. And
thanks
I hope
for,
yeah,
as
oh man, my pleasure. So, and if you need any other information about Westside as a ministry, wchurch.ca, it's all on there. Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.